Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Peaky Blinders, Season 4, Episode 1, The Noose, and Season 4, Episode 2, Heathens.
Yes, the small heathens. Mm. Yeah, we are excited to be getting back into Peaky Blinders. I know y'all have been feeling somewhat deprived of life in Birmingham, and we are happy to be getting back to it as well, although the Austin fun is always super fun.
That was fun.
That was fun. And we'll have to come up with something else that we have to do at some point.
I am reading the Bevelstoke
trilogy. I'm not talking revisiting Bridgerton.
Oh.
I'm not ruling it out either. But anyway.
I also have access now to all of the Jane Austen books, so maybe at some point I will read those as well.
We might do a book episode. Anything can happen. But we are back in Birmingham. We are having our usual caveats. Those include that there's definitely, for sure, gonna be cursing, especially with the beginning of this season. There will be spoilers, most likely. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I'm having a cocktail of my own creation. I'm sure someone's done it before, but I'm the first to do it to my knowledge. And I'm having some peach schnapps and ginger ale. I'm calling it the hangman's noose.
The hangman's noose. There's a good choice.
Because it's so sweet. It will punch you in the face. Anyway, yes. But oh no, I love it though. I love sweet things. So
it is very, very, very sweet. Absolutely.
That's good though. The ginger ale kind of mellows it out a bit.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that it's very, very, very sweet. And I am having a whiskey sour because Tommy has a whiskey sour in this first episode. And my whiskey sour is a Crown Royal lemon juice and simple syrup mix. And it is quite tasty. And I'm pleased. I also drink and I know things because I'm using my Game of Thrones glass because Tommy drinks and knows things too. So there we go. So why don't we get started?
The season 4, episode 1, The Noose. There's a montage of Arthur, John, Polly, and Michael in prison being taken to get hanged. Maester Lewin, who is in this universe, is a high-ranking court official of some kind?
He appears to be
a lord in the House of Lords.
Yeah, lord in the House of Lords is the way I took it.
He hears from his associate about a blackmail, a scheme that Tommy's brewing up, and how he has a letter from the king that is a part of the conspiracy with Winston Churchill and, like, the whole thing from the first season onward, basically, how it was a whole grand conspiracy, and he can get he has evidence that the king was involved. And so immediately the guy sends his associate to go stop the hangings because that's part of one of Tommy's
demands.
His other demand is that he wants to be an OBE,
but that comes in a little bit later. So while this montage is going on, there's a lot of urgency about getting the hangings stopped. And so they're actually having their heads put in the nooses, and the executioners are about to pull the levers when the reprieve is given. And so there's a lot of running around and there's a lot of fear. And I love the reactions in this montage. John is like full on fighting people.
He's like, I'm John fucking Shelby.
Right.
And he's like, whatever, fuck death. And Arthur's just upset. Michael's terrified, as he should be. And Polly is just crying.
And praying. And then
we get all the different kinds of reactions.
Yeah, we get all the different kinds of reactions. And so then one of Tommy's demands, of course, is that he become an OBE. And then we cut to 1 year later. And 1 year later, Tommy is alone in a hotel.
Wearing glasses to show that time has passed.
Well, that was part of his head injury.
I know, I'm aware of that. I was doing a joke.
And he orders a whiskey sour and wants a whore brought to him by the proprietor of this hotel. It's a really fancy hotel.
Well, the, regardless, it's London. He talks to Lizzie. She talks about an invitation to a New Year's party at John's house, including Ada, who's coming from Boston. She keeps saying they said Boston,
They
but
keep saying
everyone
Boston.
talks about how she was in New York. So I'm
No,
no, but they do mention that she spent time in New York. Like they talk about Broadway. They talk about how they talk about other things in New York. I guess she visited New York while
Well,
she
the
was there.
Shangri-Las are definitely in New York.
Well,
We
I
know
know
that.
that. Either way, Lizzie wants him to come and meet Arthur and Linda's kid and John and Esme's new kid. He gives her a Christmas bonus that and but would prefer to stay alone for the holidays with him and Charlie.
He says he's getting Charlie a real horse, and she's like, great, so this is gonna be you and Charlie for Christmas. He's like,
And
and
the
the horse.
horse.
The writing this season is back
This
on point.
episode in
Oh,
particular, the
it's
writing's so much
so good.
better.
The sarcasm, the delivery is just great. Sorry.
He uses the services of an escort. Michael's into coke now, and Tommy meets with him about union issues and this woman, Jessie Eden, who is the union convener who's going to come and visit. Tommy gives him some coke and is just like, don't do it in any of the official places. And don't give this to Polly. And he asks how Polly's doing, and Michael says she's addicted to some tablets she got on in prison and is holding seances because she believes she could speak to spirits. Great.
Right.
Tommy.
It's very clear that Tommy has had no real contact with his family.
Can you?
He,
I mean, like,
well, because they haven't forgiven him and he's
this is kind of similar.
isolating himself.
This
That's
is
all.
kind of similar to, and I'm sorry to bring it up, but we, as of right now, we have watched the final season of Umbrella Academy. And this is extremely, and we will eventually get to it after we finish Peaky Blinders, but a little bit of a taste of that. Allison is doing a similar thing at the beginning of that season where she just isn't going to any family functions. But it's a self-isolation thing, but I think it makes more sense for Tommy.
Much more.
And
Much more.
I think
Well, it's also more in character for
it's
Tommy.
more in character
Tommy
for Tommy to
is
isolate
kind of a
himself and
loner.
not for other
Yeah.
people to isolate. Well,
He is a loner on many levels. I mean, he always has been, and he isolated himself after Grace died. I mean, he's that guy. He that's not surprising for him,
it's
really.
not surprising. Anyway, Tommy tells him Michael to keep her sober or to get her sober.
Yeah.
Polly, meanwhile, is thinking she's talking to spirits now. That's great.
No.
John is enjoying his big house and large grounds, but he also kind of misses the city because it's kind of boring. A letter gets
He's
to
also not shooting very well, which, is pissing
he's
him
out of
off,
practice.
right? Because it's kind of showing that all of them were changed by the experience in prison, and for him, it's like he's off his game because he's not able to shoot with incredible accuracy.
Yeah, a letter gets delivered. We'll talk about that later. Ada arrives and talks to him about helping Polly and how she, oh, I'll do it. Obviously, Michael, her son, can't do it. I'll do it.
Well, we all know Michael sucks.
We do know Michael sucks and he's not really good at getting people back on the wagon since he's into coke now too. Esme is mad at Ada for sticking with Tommy in the company because Esme, she's mad about something always. And
Is
I
Esme.
can't blame her for hating Tommy for putting her husband in prison right after she had a baby. Like, what the fuck? But it,
Well, he turned them in on some level and let them be
I'm
arrested in
aware
his
of that, and
house. So
that's
it's kind of a,
also a part of it. But she, I think she's more, she's just upset about the whole situation. She wasn't a really big fan of Tommy to begin with, so whatever. She asks about, Ada asks about Arthur, who apparently needs a sewing kit to sew his balls back on.
I love that line. Oh my God.
Arthur receives a letter as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. Arthur is enjoying farm life with his son, but his Linda's being very controlling. His wife is being very controlling.
Oh yeah, she's not letting him do anything.
I agree,
Like,
not smoking around the child,
oh,
but
but no, I mean, it's like stuff like, oh, well, I'd like to open up a garage. Oh no, you don't need to open a garage. That involves people,
we'll talk about that later.
That's Linda, though.
That is Linda. We meet Jessie Eden, who is advocating for pay equality and rights for women. And she talks to Tommy, and Tommy is, she's way out of her depth.
It's pretty funny
Tommy
because
says,
she's trying to compare like one of their other factories and like, oh, the men there are getting paid X amount and the women here are getting paid a different amount. And he's like, okay. this
Doing
is,
different work.
well, no, they're doing the same work. They're
Are they
both,
doing the
yeah,
same
they're
work?
doing the same work. And he says, that's fine. You want me to raise the women's pay by 5 shillings or whatever it is,
Yeah, well,
in 5 minutes.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
But also he says, she's like, are you threatening me? And he's like, I don't need threats.
Yeah, I'm Tommy fucking Shelby, you know?
He tells her he will increase the female pay by 5 shillings and decrease the male pay by 5 to make up for it and tell them why. So that he just causes more unrest. She threatens a strike and he's like, fine, whatever. Charlie's governess, Frances, talks to Tommy about the new foreign chef, and how he's asking how many people are going to be over for dinner, for Christmas dinner.
Oh,
Tommy.
I did f fail to point out that Jesse Eden, they're trying to make her out to be
I know.
cool. She is going to be, this is spoiler, she's going to be the business sex of this season. It's very
Big
obvious.
shocker.
Yeah, they try to make her cool, much like they tried to make all these other business sex women cool. And so her the try way they try to do it is they give her the Red Right Hand version that's a girl punk band doing it, and I hate that so much. I mean, Red Right Hand is for all of the tough guys, and she is not any of that. So, but I do, and I did write down the quote. It's like Tommy's like, whatever you've heard, I don't need to make threats.
Sure.
Yep.
Tommy has invited Johnny Dogs and the Lee family and Charlie's governess to Christmas dinner. And then he receives a letter as well from Luca Shangretta.
Right. No, the chef is being really annoying about it, though. The chef is the one who
He's
wants
made
to.
one request at this point. He will make another and then he will get really annoying. Tommy receives a letter from Luca Shangretta threatening him with the Black Hand. It essentially is a vendetta against the family wherein you're going to kill every single person who receives a letter and for to make up for the fact or for revenge on them killing his father. Even though his father ordered a hit on Tommy that killed his wife. Okay.
It's a vendetta.
It's a vendetta. Arthur and Linda update Ada about their lives. Arthur wants to open a garage, but Linda shoots it down because she's an awful person. John, remember how Lady Mary Crawley, the most uppity of uppity bitches, was even like, yes, husband, open a garage. Like,
Yeah.
Linda, you're not so too good at for a garage. Like,
Yeah,
let him
it's
do
not
live
even
his
that. What
dream.
she's like is like, oh, you'll have ambitious people there. So I think what she's worried about is Arthur getting back into his old ways. And it's
Not
kind of
if he
like,
opens a garage.
well, right. I mean, and here's the thing, if you don't let him do anything, he's
You
going to
want
be
to.
miserable. Exactly.
Anyway,
Ugh.
John calls Arthur about the black hand from Luca. He has received one in the mail. He actually opened it now. Esme confronts Tommy about the letter and wants to stick. No,
No,
he
she
confronts
confronts
John.
John.
Why did I write down Tommy?
I have
She
no idea.
confronts John about the letter. And wants to stick with their family and not lean on Tommy for any help.
Right, we can handle it all ourselves. That is the oath we took to ourselves, and it's like, no. Okay.
Ada
No.
wants to talk to Arthur about contacting Tommy about it. She's going to help.
I love
And
this line though. Like, so Arthur gets this call from John. He takes Ada outside to tell her about it. Like, we've all been marked. Or basically, like, we've got this black hand. He doesn't tell Ada, and I don't think he knows, but Tommy does because he understands what this is. He doesn't realize that Ada is going to be part of it, but he points out to Ada, like, hey, Linda won't let me even have a gun. And is like, look, you can have my gun. I've got an extra one, whatever. And he's like, and she said, just, come to the car and act like you're emotional. And Arthur says, I am emotional. I just don't know what emotion it is.
Arthur keeps Linda out of the loop. Loop, and he gets a quick handoff of the car gun,
Yeah,
and
Ada's car gun.
yes, and gives her some eggs from their chickens. Luca Shangretta and his men arrive in Liverpool,
Is
and
hilarious. They're
it
so
is
obviously mafia.
so clearly, but Luca Shangretta is played by Adrian Brody. I love Adrian Brody as a villain. I especially love him in Grand Budapest Hotel. He makes a very convincing and threatening mafioso, and
Oh,
it
he's
is
so
so
good.
impressive. He's just a really good villain.
Yeah,
He's a
oh,
great
he is.
actor. He makes an amazing villain, I will give him his flowers every day of the well, every single episode. I
But
will give him his flowers.
part of this, like, is the writing of it, because
Yes.
he's going through customs and he's asked, well, so
What's the purpose
you're
of your visit?
what there's this whole discussion of where you're coming from. And he's like, oh, I'm coming from America like these other guys. And what is the purpose of your visit? And he says, pleasure.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Michael talks to Polly about Tommy, and she doesn't believe in his good intentions when he wants her to get sober. Believe in Tommy's good intentions.
Yeah.
Polly is upset that Michael still works for Tommy. She needs to get over it. Tommy and Charlie leave out some whiskey for Santa,
Whiskey for
which
Santa.
Tommy immediately takes once Charlie leaves the room.
Yeah.
Tommy says they need to go back to Birmingham with the whole family to keep them safe.
Right, because Ada comes in and he explains to her, hey, look, this is for all of us. And Ada's like, shit, I gave my gun to Arthur. And he's like, don't worry, I have more guns.
Yeah.
And then
No, I
he
can't.
says that they're gonna have a meeting on Boxing Day.
Oh, no, but there's a little brief interlude with John and Esme. Esme is just like sitting on the couch, and John comes in with every gun they have. And
It's so
she
good. He's
goes,
got his whole arsenal gun.
Holy shit, it's Father Christmas. It's so
It
funny. They have sex
is.
and fall asleep and miss Tommy's phone call. Tommy
Right.
calls Arthur and calls the family meeting. He's the family meeting, Boxing Day, midday. If you have to pull a gun on Linda to do it, do it. Merry
It's
Christmas.
gonna be at Charlie's.
Michael threw away
But
Polly's.
hang on. I do get to speak, don't
Just go.
I? But his whole point is that they are going to all have to go back to Small Heath. They're all gonna have to move back to Small Heath to stay safe until this vendetta is cleared away. And as he says, you need to be within, we need to be within 4 miles of the garrison because we know everybody there. So that's where we're going. We're going home. You may proceed.
Okay. Michael threw away Polly's tablets. She has a meltdown, and Ada comes in and explains the situation. Whatever. Frances, the governess, asks Tommy when exactly the guests will arrive before or after the king's speech, and Tommy finds this very weird because the cook is asking a lot of questions. And and they said that he's foreign, so how would he know about the king's speech if he was foreign? Like, there's a lot leading to his suspicion.
Yes.
Tommy finds out the chef is Italian, and they've been
He came in
having trouble
October.
with his assistant, who is his sous chef, who causes a lot of issues in the kitchen. And they've been with him since, well, the chef has been with them since October, and it's been 2 months of having the sous chef. Tommy goes to the kitchen and gives the sous chef Antonio £10 for the late notice of like the Christmas dinner.
Yeah, you got a sous chef who's peeling potatoes.
I mean, the prep for me, a meal is prep for a meal, but
Well, they have other assistants though, and
yes.
we get to see them.
And the guy doesn't even blink at the £10, which is suspicious because anybody in any position at that time should be very grateful for a £10 bonus. That's
Yeah,
insane.
that's a lot of money back in those days.
He then goes to the chef who is butchering some meat for the Christmas dinner, and he holds out his hand for a handshake, and the chef is like, my hand has blood, and because it's covered in blood of the animal's blood. And Tommy says, mine too. It's great. Tommy points out the assistant stuff with the whole like £10 note meaning nothing, so probably he's not being paid by him. He says Sabini used to own one of the places the chef used to work at. And the chef says the guys told him to bring Antonio into the house and just to like let things happen from there. When Antonio like and Tommy's like, yeah, no, you're definitely going to have to you send him in, and I will take care of the rest. And you send in the sous chef, and I'll take care of the rest. And when Antonio comes in, Tommy hits him with a meat hook and
Yeah,
hits him.
Tommy's waiting on him. And of course, the sous chef knows when he's being called back, they're like, oh, yeah, no, that something's not right. So the sous chef actually pulls a gun and he's going to go in and he's going to shoot Tommy, but Tommy knows he's coming and hooks him up with a meat hook. And he tries to get information from him. And the guy is speaking Italian, saying, fuck you in Italian. He gets the chef to translate and he just decides, yeah, fine, he shoots him. So, but he is. covered in blood at this point. And then he goes to call the hair, the pub.
Tommy tells the chef to go back to Savini and say they're coming for him after they deal with the Americans first.
Right. So, and he says, just be gone. So he goes upstairs and he calls this pub and he's like, "Is there a gypsy playing the violin for for pennies?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Put him on the phone." And it's Johnny Dogs. He has Johnny Dogs come to clear up the body. And Johnny's like, "Hey, are we still gonna have goose tomorrow? Like, if you steal one, sure." But he and Charlie then pack up to go back to Small Heath, and Charlie makes sure he's like, "Mommy," and he makes sure that they bring Grace's picture.
That's so cute.
It is adorable. He is an adorable
He's an
child. He
adorable
is an adorable child.
child. Tommy also starts calling Michael to get word to John. Michael goes to John's house in the morning to get him and Esme to the meeting, which has been moved up now since it's Christmas Day. They're moving it up, or I guess it's Christmas Day. And John's like, we're fine. We're the Peaky fucking Blinders. And Michael's not like, we're not the Peaky fucking Blinders if we're not together.
Yes.
Like, we are more powerful as a unified front, and you need to understand that. So you need to come with me.
And while they're talking, a cart pulls up and blocks the drive, and these mafiosos start jumping out with machine guns and open fire. And there is just this hail of bullets. John is shot multiple times. Michael gets shot, and my reaction is fuck in all caps.
Yep.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. They kill John. Michael is shot.
What were
Anyway,
your best parts of this episode?
the beginning montage is good. Ada, I like that she's trying to keep the peace, and not being an annoying bitch. Immediate threat established, which I mentioned after we watched the two episodes for this block. I mentioned that this concept of like a threat that's going to pick off the blinders one by one would have been an amazing concept for a last season and or final
Meaning a
season,
final season, yeah.
not last season, but like a final season. I think that's a great concept for a final season of like there's, and especially with the fact that they were able to willing to commit to like killing off a major character like John, that they're like, oh, okay. It would set the precedent of like, oh, maybe everyone will die.
Well,
Instead of there being like two more seasons, so obviously Tommy's not. So.
right, but again, we only know that in retrospect. Every season, and as with many of these Netflix and BBC series, you don't know if there's going to be another season. So, when season 4 ended, there was every likelihood there was not going to be a season 5 or season 6. Or and so when this was going on, it was kind of like, damn, this is some serious shit.
Yep. Good writing, much better than last season in my opinion. Adorable children, Adrian Brody and Johnny Dogs.
I have bigger things that I think include pretty much everything you're saying. The writing is so much better. I mean, it is just so much sharper. There's a real villain, yay, as opposed to like, let's make the Russians villains. It's like, no, that was never going to work. This is a real villain that is part of their gangster world, and they're back on form in the sense that there is tension within the family. But the much bigger threat is coming from outside, and that they have to pull together, and they have a reason to pull together early. And that's part of what is so great about this setup. So what were your worst parts of this episode?
John's death. Everyone is pretty miserable. Polly is kind of annoying. Luca took a long time to seek revenge. Like his father died, what, 2 years ago? Maybe one? It's been a while, dude. Like you had a lot of time. And maybe that's the point that he's had a lot of time to concoct this plan. But I mean, it's not a very complicated plan now, is it? You just go over there and kill them is the plan.
Well,
But
you had to get people, I guess.
he had people, but sure. The Shangrettas and Savinis and Miss Eden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I my worst parts, obviously, I didn't even write down John's death because it's so fucking awful. And I absolutely love this actor. He actually appeared in a Black Mirror episode later. It was kind of cool.
Did he?
I think it was Black Mirror. Yeah.
I don't
It was
remember
like
him in
a,
Black
maybe it
Mirror.
was Black Mirror. I think it was. Or like it's a dating thing. Anyway, it was very cool.
I
I
don't recall.
like him a lot. I think he's a great actor and he does a great job. And of course, he's dying with who is his brother in real life, the actor.
Yeah,
But
that I thought that was
it's pretty
messed
wild.
up that they made
It
them
is
do
pretty
this
wild, but
scene.
it also like it gives some weight to it. It's really well done. Linda having Arthur's balls, I absolutely fucking hate
Oh yeah,
that.
Linda.
I hate a lot about Linda generally, but I really, really hate like this whole early thing with her. Esme trying to have John's balls, like,
That was never gonna work.
Polly on drugs. I don't like Polly on drugs. That's just not my favorite Polly MO. But that's really pretty much it. What grade did you give this episode?
I originally gave it an A minus, but I think it's an A.
It's an A. It's an A for sure. It's a great episode.
All right, season four, episode two, Heathens. Tommy has brought Charlie to Smallheath and is standing next to a window naked for no reason.
Okay, there's a lot of Cillian Murphy naked. Not that that's a bad thing generally, but it's kind of like
It's like, why?
why?
You're in a room with your very small child sleeping, and it's clear he's going to take a bath, but he's not in the bath. Why is he just standing there looking out a window?
Got
Anyway. We see
nothing.
in a montage form, we see the aftermath of John's death with Esme's reaction and Michael getting medical attention. Polly tells Tommy to get the men who have done it and to also make sure there are soldiers stationed in the hospital room where John, where, not John, Michael is. Tommy and Arthur then go to the mortuary.
I absolutely love this. So I'm going to cut in a little bit here. So Tommy and Arthur in the mortuary. One of the things I love about this season is you get a real return to that brother dynamic. And these two actors, Cillian Murphy and Polly Anderson, have such great chemistry as brothers. It is so well portrayed. And you see, so Tommy's saying in the Bleak Midwinter, and he's like, Arthur, you've got to say it. And Arthur just won't do it. He won't do it. And we go through that whole emotional arc with Arthur of like him finally saying it and breaking down and Tommy holding him. And it's really beautifully emotionally well done. And it evokes a lot of things. Esme then comes in and she's like, look, she's furious with Tommy, but Tommy kind of pulls her in and hugs her. And she's like, you had your time, I've got mine. And she basically says, look, I'm taking the kids and we're not going to let them know anything about your evil family, essentially, is what she says to John's body. Then we have more Tommy in the bathtub situation where he's smoking in the bathtub. I don't fully understand this. Everybody gets, they have all gathered in the house in Smallheath for a family meeting. Arthur's hair is back to Peaky Blinders form. We didn't point out, like in the first episode, he's got this big, shaggy 60s kind of hair. And it's kind of like, it's okay. And he can pull it off. I mean, good looking guy. But this is way, 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 more of what we expect of Arthur. Tommy explains the vendetta. Arthur's like, look, I've got a bullet with Luca's name on it. We're gonna handle this because he took our brother. Tommy also says that they need more men, and he has sent a message to Aberammer Gold, who will become kind of a big character in this season. And he's somebody that you've seen before. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Aegon Gillen, who we knew as Littlefinger on Game of Thrones, and also was in The Wire. He is a manipulative son of a bitch, even here, is going to be super fun. And they're all Johnny Dogs and Polly are both like, no, we need good men. And he's like, no, we need bad men. We need bad men for this. We're going to go on the offensive. We're going to go after these people who took John and shot Michael. And that's the way this is going to be. So they take a family vote about how things are going to go, whether they're going to reunite.
Even Lizzie has a vote. Like,
Why does
when have
Lizzie have
you
a
ever been?
fucking
But here's the thing: It would be one thing if Lizzie had a vote and everyone else also had a vote, but they are not even really thinking that Finn should have a vote until he gets a seat at the table, which is like, why does Lizzie have a seat at the table? She's your secretary and a former whore. Why does she get a vote? She is barely a character.
She's barely a character. She looks amazing
No, I'm
in
not
this
saying she
season.
doesn't. I'm just
She's
saying she's
gorgeous,
irrelevant.
but she is irrelevant as a family meeting person. And Johnny Dog should have a vote if these people are going to have a vote. But no. But they do take a vote. As five for peace, two for truce. The two being Polly, who is also voting for Michael, which she should not be doing because Michael's for peace. You know that.
We all know
We
that.
all know that. And one abstention. Let's get on with our war, is what Tommy says,
Who
and so they
abstained? I
do.
forgot.
The abstention, I think, was it Lizzie? I think it might have been Lizzie.
I mean,
Anyway,
she's working for him, so I don't see
yeah,
why.
whatever. Fuck, she didn't know about it anyway.
Yeah, fuck her.
They then all gather in a field. There's a gypsy caravan that they are going to set, they've set up as a pyre for John for his funeral. Tommy explains, you know, what they're doing there, and they give kind of a he explains the history that they had as soldiers, that this is what they wanted to do, and it's kind of nice we get a little background on why they stay in the bleak midwinter the way that they do. He says that he explains that he, Arthur, and John were also with Freddie Thorne, Danny Whizbang, and Jeremiah, and they were cut off from the retreat. They were out of bullets. They thought they were going to die in France. And Jeremiah, to get them through the night, had them all singing in the bleak midwinter. And so when they actually survived the night, because the Germans didn't make it through to them, they realized that everything else was basically just a bonus. Everything else in life was more than they could have ever asked for. They then set fire to the caravan. All John's things are in there, his uniforms, everything else. And at this point, there are mafia guys who are set up trying to ambush them. And they've taken aim on Tommy. And Everammer Gold appears and stabs the guy who's trying to shoot Tommy multiple times. We know him to have had a knife at one point in time. And Gold's son then shoots the guy, and they just shoot him some extra just for the hell of it. Linda tries to leave because, and Polly's just absurdly upset about this. You used us as baits. Like, well, yeah. That's how these things work. This was meant to be an ambush to smoke these people out. And Arthur's fine with it, but Linda's like, no, I'm going home to the country. And eventually it's Ada that talks her out of leaving to go to the country. She's like, no, this is the house you're going to stay in Small Heath until this is over. It's kind of the way it goes. They go to Charlie's yard. And oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a thing with Polly and Michael.
Also, Linda is
I said
so.
Linda. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to point and reiterate how stupid Linda is and how
She is dumb.
Ada's just like, hey, like shit can bad things can happen if you go back to the country. You're being really dumb. Like, what are you doing? Like, go back to the house and wait for your fucking husband, you idiot. Like, come on. Like, do you want to get like kidnapped or killed or whatever's gonna happen to you? Do you? All right, great. Then don't. But yeah, Michael wakes up and Polly tells him, "Oh yeah, we should go to Australia." And she's like, "There's no Italians in Australia." And Michael's just like, "I don't think that's strictly true." And she's just like, "Well, at least no bad ones." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think that's strictly true either." But either way. And she's like, we could go to see your sister's grave. I could probably like sense her or something. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? And Michael's more focused on business and needs more time to heal and needs Polly to get better because she makes Tommy better and they work best together. He says that if they get through it, then he'll go to Australia with her. Abiramma Gold wants to own the shipyard. Charlie's, not Charlie's. What the fuck is his name? It is Charlie.
Yes.
Okay, I just didn't, I didn't, it didn't connect that he named his child after
He's
Charlie.
Uncle Charlie.
That's
Yes, of
really
course.
cute. He wants to own the shipyard as part of his and Tommy's deal. Tommy decides to toss a coin for the yard, or if he wins, to screw his daughter.
Yeah, because he wants him to feel it. Like,
yeah,
okay, it's not just
a shipyard.
Yeah.
Gold decides not to go through with the wager. Johnny Dogs is acting like a chef to prove that gold that they eat properly.
It's hilarious.
It's very, very funny. I love Super Johnny Dogs. Funny. Tommy talks to Polly about wanting her back at the company. Polly says she'll help him just because it's what Michael wants. She tells him to screen his whores by Lizzie, which, what the fuck? To also screen his new employees to ask Gold what he really wants, because it's clear it's not, he doesn't just want like money, he wants something else, and he has an ulterior motive.
Yeah, Polly, when sober or semi-sober,
sane,
is, yeah, when she is sane, is all business, and she's definitely a, and she even mentions it to Michael. She's like, I'm still a match for him. And it's like, oh yeah, of course you are. And that's part of the greatness of Polly, is, and that's part of the reason it's so
annoying,
fucking annoying,
so
when she
stupid.
When she's self, you know, she basically self-sabotages. So yeah,
Gold tells Tommy he wants him to gamble on his son winning a boxing match. Okay, Inspector Moss goes
not just
to,
a boxing match. He
on
wants
his
to be
son
promoted.
In a boxing match.
Well, no, in many, like he, they want to promote him as a boxer.
Yes. Inspector Moss goes to Linda and Arthur's home and gives her a message that they're reopening an investigation on communism and they're investigating Ada. The horse lady from before, I forget her name, is picking up Tommy's horse to train.
That would be Business Sex from season two.
Yes. Curly tells her about the mafia going after them,
Curly.
But they have grenades, guns, and Polly's back, so all will be well. The workers at the factory, at Tommy's factory, plan to go on strike that day for better pay. Bonnie Gold, who is Abiram Gold's son.
Why his name is Bonnie, we don't know.
Because he wanted his name to be Bonnie. Wants to fight one of Tommy's workers, who is a former boxer. They
heavyweight.
Fight.
Now that guy's heavyweight, and Bonnie Gold is
welterweight.
Welterweight.
They fight. Bonnie Gold wins. Tommy wants to fix some boxing matches and do what they do with the horses, essentially, to get some money. Tommy gives Bonnie Gold a hat and says he's a peat blinder now. Then Tommy meets with Miss Eden. He cut the 5 shillings from the weekly wage. He basically just tells her to go on strike because he's just so tired of all this bullshit.
No, he also, and she points this out, she's like, if I'm reading this correctly, you actually want some sort of political unrest. And Tommy's kind of like, look, you know, if the law is kind of busy with other stuff right now, that actually works to my advantage given all the other shit that's going on at the moment. So go ahead, have your strike, enjoy.
And then Tommy's about to meet with someone from Paris who works in trade or something or other, but it turns out it's actually Lucas Shangretta under that guise. They compare fashion. He figures out it's Shangretta pretty quickly because
yes.
Shangretta's not really trying to hide it. He doesn't come out and say, hey, I'm Lucas Shangretta, but he does drop some drop some massive hints. Crap.
Yeah, he's kind of like, my suits are made in New York, you know, that kind of
thing. I have an uncle in New York who makes me suits.
They're Italian.
Can't
hit that judge.
One of Shangretta's men came in and unloaded Tommy's gun.
Yeah, because Tommy pulls the gun and he's like, yeah, you're going to find out that your security sucks.
He sets out all the bullets and he knocks over John's. He's like naming them after his family. And he's essentially doing what they do of putting a name on the bullet. And he like tips over John's because he's already fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Tommy to be the last person dead because that's what his mother said would hurt him the most. His mother, who was spared
by John. Thank you.
Stupid. He wants to fight the vendetta with honor, though. Tommy wants no civilians, no children, and Luca wants no police, and they agree to the terms. Tommy and Arthur grieve John. Tommy shoots some stuff to let off steam. They talk about where he might be in relation to
John.
Where his soul is or
where
something. Yes. Where John might be. Heaven, hell, nowhere at all. And Tommy's just like, it's much like Grace. They're just gone. Like, we don't know where they are, but they're gone.
Right.
Which is sad.
And then, because it stresses him out, shoots the gun multiple times into the alley. What were your best parts of this episode?
The opening montage, Johnny Dogs, Ada getting Linda in line, Polly getting back to business, Adrian Brody. I will admit, I do not remember this season
I
except for
love this
John's death.
season. I absolutely love this
Great,
season.
good for you. I didn't remember barely anything from the season. I thought it went right into next season, but I was wrong. And
Are you pleasantly
I'm
surprised?
pleasantly surprised by Adrian Brody. I don't, but I'm worried about the rest of it not being very memorable, so we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I really love the reverse ambush here. I love that they've like set it up to kill Shangretta's people. I love Tommy and Arthur. Again, I really feel like their chemistry in this season and how it's written, it's just beautifully done. I like Michael bringing Polly back to reality, like, because he even says to her, Tommy can't do this without you. You need to get your shit together so that Tommy can protect the rest of us. So you need to get it together. And then she's like, all right, fine. I love Shangri-La. I love Adrian Brody as Shangri-La. This is just fantastic. So what were your worst parts?
Polly being annoying about the whole bait thing. It's like, girl, come on, you're fine. Miss Eden and Luca Shangretta.
I put it as Linda, sex girl, which is
Oh, and Linda. Sorry, I
yeah.
almost forgot Linda.
And the sex girl, the business sex girl.
Eden, Linda.
I'm not interested in her at all. What grade did you give this episode?
B plus, I guess.
I gave it an A minus.
I don't think it's as good
I think
as.
it's not as good as the first episode, but I think it's really good.
I think it's fine.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I know that there are some less interesting episodes, but I love that they're getting back to that Peaky Blinders footing, and I love the dynamics that we're seeing. So I'm really enjoying this. I am looking forward to sharing this with you guys. I'm looking forward to sharing this
Yes, I
with you.
am.
Oh, great. And we hope that you join us and cheers.
Cheers.